I've heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care.
We just talk about the plan.
Me and you could rob a bank. You can be the getaway driver just like Bonnie did for Clyde.
On the fifth, the minor four, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah.
Good morning and welcome to a Red River Radio Spotlight. I'm Bill Beckett, the program director for Red River Radio, and opening this Friday night at the Robinson Film Center, the film The Pardon, starring Jamie King as Tony Jo Henry, the only woman to be executed in Louisiana's electric chair. And joining me this morning to discuss the film, Tony Jo's story, and the history behind the film are director Tom Anton and Sandy Russell, who co-wrote the film and script. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having
Thanks.
Us.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
So I think what I wanted to start out with is the history behind the film. Can you tell us a little bit about exactly what this history was?
Well, the history for the film is Tony Jo committed a crime. So the movie itself is sort of a whodunit in a way. It shows her early childhood. She grew up in Shreveport and became a prostitute at a young age. She was prostituted by her parents, actually, by her father and her stepmother at one point, which led her down this path. And she became a drug addict. She met her husband, Cowboy Henry, and because of a past crime, he was sent to prison. Trying to get him out of prison by raising some money, she and Archie Finnan Burks, as her accomplice, committed the crime of murder. And that's why I say it's a whodunit. You don't know really who did it. We show both sides of the story, basically. And so she spent time in jail. During that time, there was a court case. And that's the second act of our film. The third act is a relationship that she has with Father Richard, and that's where the redemption part of the story comes in. But it was all shot here in Louisiana. It's a Louisiana story, and it's shot by a Louisiana boy.
Within the film and within the history, like so many whodunits, nobody really knows who actually pulled the trigger.
No.
Because the only person that was there, other than the two murderers, is the person who was murdered.
Exactly. And both of them were executed for the crime. So, but we do not know who actually was the one that pulled the trigger.
Now, at the time of her trial, unlike a lot of, you know, local murders, this one drew a tremendous amount of nationwide press scrutiny. Can you tell us a little bit exactly why so much press attention around this particular case?
I think there were several reasons. One is that they wanted to make an example out of her, and here it was, this horrendous crime. The guy was actually found nude, and when they found him, there was speculation that he had been sexually abused. And so they really felt they wanted to make this example. She was a beautiful woman. And they said, let's put this woman to death. And there was a real conspiracy within the state to do that. At the time, in the 30s, the only people that were allowed to serve on juries were property owners. And the majority of property owners were men. So it was an all-male jury. And it got national attention. People really started following her case.
In this particular case, she actually went through three trials. Why were the first two trials overturned and she granted a new trial?
She won two Louisiana Supreme Court appeals from these two attorneys that were actually tax attorneys that were appointed by the judge to defend her. And to me, they were the real heroes of this story. So we understand why it was overturned due to the testimony and different things that the prosecution had done. Mm-hmm. But the one mystery that remains is that Archie was sentenced and convicted to death prior to her trial and lost his appeal. And he was kept alive all the way, not allowing to testify in the first two trials. But finally, in the third trial, he was allowed to testify and they convicted her.
One of the things that the two actors that played those attorneys, Lee Winnell and Tim Guinea, who played the two attorneys for the film, when they came onto set and they were doing the rehearsing with us, they said they had an idea for these two tax attorneys and what kind of people they were, and they were friends and knew each other and whatnot. They said, we'd like to just go away for a little bit and work on something that we have in mind. And they came back and did this little shtick for Tom and I before we actually shot the film. And it was wonderful. And when you come to the film and see them, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. It's sort of like frickin' frack. They play off of each other and finish each other's sentences. It's really fun.
And after the third trial, in the actual historical case, she finally sentenced to death, and the execution was not that long after that.
No, that's correct. She was executed, I believe it was in November of 1942.
Okay. And in an ironic twist of history, her husband, whom she was trying to go out and free, he was paroled not that long after her execution. So all of her efforts seemed to be kind of fruitless in the end.
That's the irony of the whole case, because Cowboy Henry ended up getting paroled because they found he had a heart defect. Mm. His fate took a turn after that.
Now let's get to the actual movie. Tell us about the cast, because you've got a pretty stellar cast in this movie.
Oh, we did. Jamie King was just absolutely incredible. People will recognize her from Nurse Betty from Pearl Harbor, Sin City, and she's currently on a CW show called Heart of Dixie. And we had every person cast for this film but the lead, Tony Joe Henry. Sandy and I were currently living in North Carolina. We left Los Angeles after the auditions and still had no Tony Joe Henry. Our casting director was sending us clips of auditions. We finally, she called me one day and said that Jamie King wanted to talk to me. And would I mind talking to her? Well, we didn't remember her audition. It didn't stand out. She called me, and after talking to her for about 90 minutes, I gave her the part. She convinced me she could do this, and she was wonderful. She really looks like Vivian Leigh. Mm-hmm. And then we were very fortunate to work with Academy Award nominee John Hawkes, right, which everyone will recognize from Winter's Bone and this year's The Sessions. Right. And T.J. Thine playing Father Richard, he was in the television show Bones. And M.C. Gainey, who was absolutely great as the jailer. People recognize him from Con Air. And we had a great cast.
I have a story, too, about M.C. Gainey. He came on to set, and he had a whole backstory that he created for this jailer. I was called in by him to come to the wardrobe because he was having a problem with the wardrobe person. And I said, what's the matter? And he went into this whole tirade of exactly who this person was. He had a drinking problem. His brother-in-law made him sort of the jailer there. So when he starts out the movie, he's pretty slovenly and not well kept. And as the movie progresses, he gets, you know, really stands up straight and he's dressed pretty impeccably. And so he told me that he wanted that in the dress as he was going through the movie, that he wanted the clothes to change in that regard. And he said, if Ernesto doesn't do this, I'm going to take these clothes home and get them all wet, put them in a garbage bag, and that's what I'll wear to set tomorrow. So I thought that, you know, he really had the character down in his head, and it was a real learning experience really for me to see how much an actor really brings to the role. I wrote the words that he says and had them down on the paper, but who they become and what their character is like really comes from the actor, a big part of it.
Well, one of the things for the audience to look at when they come see our film is Sandy did a really wonderful job writing the script where the actors have a great character arc in each one of the characters they play. And I think as the audience watches the film, they'll see why we were able to attract such a great cast, was they saw that their character was not this one-dimensional person, but they all grew as they were touched by the life of Tony Joe Henry. And that's where Sandy did a great job in pulling that together in the script. The other thing for the audience, I think, that they're going to enjoy is we had a great musical score. Ashley Irwin had done the last two Clint Eastwood movies, mm-hmm. and growing up in New Orleans, music has always been important to me, and I know how music can really elevate a scene and bring you into it, and Ashley really created this great score and just highlighted each one of these scenes. You feel like you're back in the 30s, Louisiana.
And I just love the way that Tony Joe touched the people in her life. Father Richard as one of them, and also the jailer and the attorneys, and how they touched her. And so this story, even though it sounds like it could be a downer, really is a story of hope and love and redemption and how people interact. And so my goal really for the audience in seeing this is not to judge people. You don't know really where they come from and what they've had to go through. And to be more forgiving and accepting of people and be able to love each other. And love was the great factor in her life that helped her to change. When you watch these last minutes of the film, you just really feel like this is a close group and everybody's affected by what she's going through. She doesn't walk alone. She really does walk with the priest and everyone around her and God.
And this jail ended up being the best home she'd ever had.
Yeah. A lot of this film, actually most of this film, shot right here in Shreveport. So for folks who are going to go out and see it, give them a prelude to what they're going to see, the sights that they're going to recognize, even though they've been dressed up for the movie.
Yes. Well, we open it with a lot of great shots of Shreveport all around. The film opens that way. But we shot at the Logan Mansion. We turned into a brothel where Tony Jo started her early years. We shot at Jacqueline's Cafe. We had three scenes there. We shot at the Chamber of Commerce. We could not find a courtroom that would let us take over for a week. Mm-hmm. Actually, 2 weeks, because we had to dress the set. And the Chamber of Commerce was very gracious and let us use their room that we converted. And we shot, the jail scenes were done at an old abandoned prison in Minden. We shot some of the scenes there. So, and there's a lot of other little spots you'll see.
We had a fabulous set designer, Ann Steeler, who actually is on the TV series right now, Blue Bloods. Mm-hmm. And she was really able to create a feeling of the time period. And the other one that did a fabulous job on our film was Matthew Irving. He was our cinematographer. And you'll see in the colors and the mood, the slow movement that happens in the film. He and Tom had weeks and weeks to be able to really put together a great shot list. And our set really ran like clockwork. There were no glitches. We didn't have any late days. Everybody worked really, really well together. We were very blessed to have a wonderful crew.
And it's going to be opening at the Robinson tomorrow night, but what are some of the other theaters that
it's
folks
Cinemark
might want to...
here, right?
Cinemark
at Tinseltown is okay. the other
right
spot.
And then in Baton Rouge it's going to be playing at the Cinemark on Perkins Row and AMC Rave, and in New Orleans it's playing at Canal Place, which is Southern Theaters, and also an AMC Elmwood out there, and then the Grand in Lafayette, and then in Lake Charles, we're at the Cinemark.
It's the Grand 16 in Lafayette. There's two Grands.
Yeah.
Tom and Sandy, I want to thank you for joining me this morning.
Thanks you for having us.
That's The Pardon, and it's going to be opening this Friday night at 7:30 at the Robinson Film Center right here in Shreveport, with multiple showings across the state and other theaters. You can check your local theaters for showtimes and locations. For more information about showtimes at the Robinson, you can go to robinsonfilmcenter.org. This has been a Red River Radio Spotlight, and for Red River Radio, I'm Bill Beckett.
Well, your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty in the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to a kitchen chair. She broke your throne. She cut your hair. And from your lips she drew.